I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. We continue looking at the municipal election here in Vancouver with my guest now, Sean Antrim. He's someone whose work has hit my radar because I've been following him on Twitter. His handle is at Sean Antrim. He's an artist, economist, and a thoughtful political observer. He co-founded The Mainlander, a website that's covering this municipal election, providing analysis and interviews with candidates. That's at themainlander.com. It's billed itself as Vancouver's place for progressive politics. Sean's got another website, Viewtalism. It's also quite good. Viewtalism.wordpress.com is that website. We'll discuss the campaign from his vantage point a week before the November 19th vote. Who's up, who's down, who's ahead, and who's not. Also, we'll look at the themes throughout this campaign. Occupy Vancouver seems to be revolving around and in this election. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program, Sean Antrim. Good morning, Mr. Antrim.
Oh, thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Thanks for joining us. Now, let's begin with The Mainlander. I've quickly become a frequent reader of that. How did that start?
Well, there was a few of us who were looking for a progressive voice in the municipal politics scene. Many people that follow municipal politics have heard of City Caucus. It kind of came out as a response to that. City Caucus, for those who don't know, is a blog that covers municipal politics, led by some former NPA staffers and now NPA candidate Mike Klassen, who's since left, but was one of the main contributors. So we wanted to provide sort of an alternative perspective on a lot of the stuff that's going on.
And there is on the website sort of the aims of the website and what you guys want to do there.
So we wanted to. The other thing that we were noticing was that a lot of the progressive progressive media in Vancouver. The Georgia Strait and the Tie are great examples, but they both do take a heavy amount of their advertising comes in the form of advertising for real estate. So we noticed that there's a bit of conflict of interest there. There's a lot of money put forth by Rennie Marketing and Concord that fill the pages of the Georgia Strait, and you often see them also on the Tie. So we wanted to provide a unbiased, unfunded alternative viewpoint on real estate development and housing and all these other issues.
How old's The Mainlander?
It's just coming up on its first year anniversary, but we've been writing about this stuff for a while. This is sort of the coagulation of our writings on housing and affordability in particular.
Yeah, and I've read your stuff previously on Rabble, and on other websites. The one thing that I've noticed of this stuff in The Mainlander is that it's quite thoughtful that you guys come to it from a background you guys obviously have views on how politics should be or what policy should be, but you also think about it a great deal, do a lot of research.
Yeah, that's one of the things that we all come from various academic backgrounds and not working in the university, but I studied economics in university. The two other others studied history and political science. So we really wanted to bring our backgrounds with us to this. I still read a lot about land economics and what's going on in Vancouver, and I really try and have that influence the discussion, because oftentimes journalists that don't have that training leave it out, and there's the analysis that is put forth by consultants and people who are paid to put forth a certain idea. So we wanted... I don't claim to be an expert because I don't have my PhD in economics or anything, but I still follow all the journal articles and try and stay with what's going on to provide a really deep, comprehensive understanding.
And Viewtalism, that's your own site, right?
I just put up quotes on that, sort of like interesting things that pop up from what I'm reading. I try and follow I read a lot. So I've been reading about the Russian Revolution and contrasting it to Occupy Vancouver right now. But that's sort of it's not really a main project. It's just a hobby.
So on Occupy Vancouver, you've been down there. You've been covering it, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's going to happen?
It's interesting. It's something that we haven't really ever seen before. That's why I was reading about the Russian Revolution, because it was the most recent event that I can think of that is something similar. Although it's obviously, there's obviously huge differences, but sort of just different an occupation popping up in all these cities across the world. We've never really seen anything on this scale, and nobody knows. There's obviously people who want to get rid of it and stop it from happening. There's obviously people who want to see it go on and instill some change. What I see happening is that the tactics are going to have to be developed, tactics that don't exist. The tactics that they're using right now that they have been using right now to get rid of it are familiar. The response that Jim Chu has had for the Occupy is similar to that he had the day after the riot, arguing that it was anarchists that have infiltrated Occupy Vancouver the same way that he said that anarchists had caused the violence and destruction around the riot. But I don't think that these strategies are going to work because, A, that's not necessarily what's actually happening, and also it's a global movement. So if you shut it down in Vancouver, there's still 1,600 other occupies that you have to deal with. They all kind of need to be snuffed out at once for there to be any permanent solution to it.
And the two major parties, the Vision, Mr. Robertson's party and the NPA, Ms. Anton's party, they haven't really, they've tried to use this protest to their benefit, whether it's Anton saying that it should shut down, or Robertson at the beginning of the campaign, at the beginning of the occupation, that they can stay. Now, they've sort of, are they at those positions, and I guess they haven't really benefited from what's happening at the art gallery, right?
No, not necessarily. Like, I see, in the traditional, like, looking, comparing our current political situation to that of the past, I see Vision Vancouver, NPA, as being very similar political parties.
Yeah.
Normally, there would be much more of a left-right division. And I see Vision Vancouver as being much more center, if not center right, than Cope has traditionally been, who filled the role of the left wing party. So now what we have, though, is because of the deal that Vision Vancouver and Cope have made, Vision and the NPA don't need to differentiate themselves from Cope. Vision and the NPA need to differentiate themselves from each other. So they've been choosing wedge issues, and this is one of those issues, trying to differentiate themselves from each other. But they really have quite a similar stance, and that's getting rid of the Occupy. Susan Anton wants to go in, and she has the privilege of not actually having to do it. But she says that she would just get rid of it right away. Gregor Robertson can't do that because it's difficult to get it through right away, as we've seen in Oakland and in other cities. Oftentimes, the only way to get, when you try and go in and get rid of it right away, it turns violent, and public opinion, especially in an election year, would turn against you if you sick the police on a bunch of peaceful protesters. So it's interesting. I think Anton has definitely benefited from it because she's taking a hard stance and she has the privilege of not being the incumbent mayor. But we'll have to see what happens over the next week with the injunction. He has been taking a slow approach because Vision Vancouver markets themselves as being the progressive party, so they can't go in there and beat up protesters. These are a lot of the same people that are Vision supporters down there at the Occupy. Environmentalists and other left-wing groups are down there supporting unions as well.
Is it your sense, though, that the protesters will be voting Vision on the 19th?
No, I don't think so. Well, this is the interesting turn that it's taken, is that In Vancouver, inequality takes the form of the people who own land and people who don't. Because land values in Vancouver are so high, a lot of people have benefited from that, but like people who rent have obviously suffered under that. So people are, when they look at inequality in Vancouver, they look at the real estate market who's been funding Vision Vancouver. So it's really, they're focusing more and more on the issues in Vancouver, and they're looking more and more to municipal politics as the issue, as opposed to federal and provincial politics. I don't think that that people are going to be. There are definitely some people down there who will be voting for Gregor Robertson because he appears to be the only alternative to Susan Anton. But I think that council-wise, it's going to be a really mixed bag. There are some new players on the scene. I think we might see some independents elected for the first time in a long time.
And I guess you're referring to Sandy Garasino, is that?
And Adrian Carr as well.
Yeah.
I think they're both. We know that the situation is bad from both of the major political parties because they haven't been releasing their polls up until today, when the NPA released their poll that said that Suzanne Anton is in reach of Gregor Robertson.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if both parties show off their polls to show how well they're doing. And neither party is doing that, so they're probably not doing very well. I've overheard NPA people talking about their polls, and they say that it's going to be a mixed council with one or two independents. So I'm thinking that probably Adrian Carr and Sandy Garasino, possibly even an NFV candidate, but I don't know if they've managed to get enough publicity quite yet to reach the 45,000 votes or so that you need to get elected.
Yeah. Now, in terms of back to Occupy Vancouver and how it's being covered, I'm interested to know what you think about how it's been covered by sort of the mainstream media.
Well, in a lot of ways, the Occupy protest, and looking going down there, if you take a really scrutinizing look at some of their signs, they're protesting against the mainstream media, and a lot of them are. It's really as I said, this is why we created the Mainlander, because there's a lot of wealthy influence that pushes on mainstream media, if so for the fact that print media is suffering right now because of web media and it's only big advertisers that are advertising in print media, which is the established media. So it's a protest against some of the influences that are influencing the mainstream media. The mainstream media has been back and forth on the issue. I think it was really interesting when the police chief gave his press release the other day about after the incident with the fire and the police brutality and the police being bitten. He pointedly said that even journalists should be afraid to go down to Occupy Vancouver, because that it was a bit of a messaging to the media that this is not necessarily a safe place for them, and I think that was intentional.
Mm. Well, it's something that some of the candidates that I've talked to on this program, and it's obviously an important issue. It's that of affordability, and I was reading a number of pieces that you've written, a couple of pieces that you've written on that issue. It seems everyone wants to talk about it and make Vancouver affordable again, should they be elected. Do you think they can?
I think in Vancouver right now, there's two ways to make it an affordable city. One way is to put in regulation that lowers land values, because right now that's the key. If you look at the cost of building a unit of housing right now, it's something like 80% is the land cost and 20% or even less than that is the construction cost. So we can either lower land costs significantly through regulation, through speculation taxes or other institutional methods, or that would have the negative effect of obviously reducing the equity of everybody who owns land. It could be really problematic for people who have their retirement savings now in their homes. They would lose that if land values went down. The other option is to build social housing, which is something that we are huge advocates for. The city, the municipal government over the past 3 years has said that they don't have enough money to build social housing. I think that we can afford not to build social housing. By building actually affordable units instead of waiting for all of the supply side approach, waiting for all of the land values to go down. If we built social housing, we would actually have a solution to the problem right away. People would feel it right away, that homeless would be off the streets. Renters who are paying half their income would have a relief right away. And there are ways that we can fund this. We have the lowest business taxes, at least in June of 2010, we had the lowest business taxes in the world, according to a KPMG study. So we can fund these projects. People are making money hand over fist in the real estate market. If we tax them, we could fund real estate. The city also owns a significant amount of land that we could use to fund social housing. I really think that that's the only solution that we have right now, and without hurting the equity of landowners. So none of the candidates that I've talked to, and I've talked to quite a few of them, are proposing that. I don't think we're going to be solving the affordability crisis anytime soon with what I've heard from the candidates that are running right now.
Now, this mayor who's running for re-election, Mr. Robertson, he went into office 3 years ago with the goal of ending homelessness. How has he done on that score?
Well, it's interesting. There's been a lot of spin on the homelessness numbers. The MTA would say that homelessness has increased over the past 3 years, which is true. The Vision would say that we've seen the first decrease in homelessness in 10 years, which might possibly be true because the 2010 homeless count showed homelessness to be higher than the 2011 homeless count. It's really hard because the people aren't scrutinizing these studies nearly enough. We don't know. The homeless count counts an absolute minimum number of homeless. So they estimate that the number of homeless is usually 3 to 5 times what they get in the count because they can't count everybody. I think it's impossible the way things are going for the homelessness problem to be solved. If land prices continue to increase as they did last year by 20%, we're going to have more homeless, more people being evicted because their land, their homes are being redeveloped. Rent evictions are going to continue. Maybe some of the homeless will move to other cities, but I think that we're not going to be attacking the systemic problem of creating homelessness. And I don't think that we have attacked the systemic problem of creating homelessness over the past 3 years either.
As an observer of politics, looking at this campaign, covering this campaign as you have, what do you think will happen on the 19th to sort of fish out that crystal ball that pundits often look at and are often wrong, but nonetheless it doesn't stop them from making predictions, I guess?
Yeah, the last week before an election is when everything happens. There's going to be unforeseen events. Maybe the police will go in and kick out the occupiers. Maybe there'll be another death or perhaps another case of police brutality that could push it either way. Right now, I'm tending to agree with the NDP poll that I cited earlier, and that the independents have their hands clean in a lot of this. I think that they're going to do better. Adrian Carr has really good name recognition. Sandy Gostino has what appears to be a very well-funded campaign. I've seen her posters everywhere.
Yeah.
I think that there's a good chance that we'll see some independents elected for the first time in almost 30 years. As for the rest of council, I think that because COPE has its hands clean, even though it has a new councillor, RJ Aquino, I think they might be able to elect all three. And that leaves five left to be split between the NPA and Vision. The NPA has all of their council candidates are new people. They don't have very much name recognition. They've spent a lot more money than Vision has, according to the numbers that I've seen. So it'll be really interesting. I think that of the last five, it could end up going 3 Vision and 2 NPA, but I'm not 100% sure, obviously.
Yeah. Now, I had Terry Martin on from Neighborhoods for Sustainable Vancouver on, and he brought up an interesting point that I've been thinking about since I talked to him a couple of days ago, and that is it's very easy a week before the vote to talk about sort of the issues and the record of the previous council and the issues surrounding this campaign, what with Occupy, what with the riot and the sort. But looking forward, we're electing a council for the next 3 years. There is some important work that they are going to do, right?
Yeah, definitely. The next 3 years at council are going to be very important. There's several 20-year plans, the regional growth strategy being one, that are going to be put forward that will significantly affect the development of the entire region. This is a really clutch year for city council in Vancouver.
Yeah. And how have you found covering the campaign? I mean, it's obviously a lot of hard work, a lot of time. Are you enjoying it at all?
I do this as the Mainlander for me is a bit of a hobby. It's turned into sort of a part-time job now. But I've been really interested in what people have to say. I haven't been really happy with any of what the candidates are saying. I mean, there's lots that is good that's going to come out of this, but I talk about my priorities are affordable housing, and as I said, I don't think anyone is dealing with the the key issues, the systemic problems. So it's kind of disappointing hearing people abandoning building social housing, which was a huge talking point of the 2008 election to solve homelessness, was to build social housing. This is what we need, I really feel, and no one's proposing it. So it has been a bit frustrating. That being said, it'll be interesting to have a mixed council. The past 3 years with a vision majority have been frustrating for a lot of people. I think several thousand people have been to had to go to City Hall on their nights off to speak against the development. So all in all, besides the politicians themselves, the campaign has been interesting to cover, and I've enjoyed it, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, you're doing very fine work, you guys over at the Mainlander, and I enjoy your pieces and following you on Twitter. You're really great to do this. I appreciate it, Sean.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks for having me on your show.
You're very welcome. The website's themainlander.com, viewtalism.wordpress.com. Sean Antrim on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plato.